Once again, the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. If you're looking to get together with other Gopher fans, maybe more specifically Goal Line Club members, make sure you get to Tony's Diner before the game on Saturday, Ryan.
With an 11 a.m. kick, there is no better spot to potentially grab a beer, grab some grub at Tony's Diner, and hang out with the other folks at the Goal Line Club, Luke.
All right, so if you aren't a Goal Line Club member, make sure you get to goalineclub.org and join today. And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the Western Illinois Leather next week, which has to be up there for some of the greatest or most exquisite nicknames in college football. A two-win FCS team from a week or from a year ago comes into Huntington Bank Stadium. But before we get into all that, Luke, what is new in your world before I got some things I got to get off my chest?
Oh, new in my world. That's a great question. I'm not really sure I have anything new other than I'm going to have to be trying to figure out how I watch this game on Saturday, given I will be at a wedding.
Weddings can't be me.
Can't be you. You got yours right on New Year's Day. Just when the Gophers will be playing in the Rose Bowl. So yeah.
Remember, Luke, number one, it's New Year's Eve. Number two, not all heroes wear capes, and some of us have to make sacrifices if the Gophers are going to get to the Rose Bowl in the first time in either one of our lifetimes. But I just – that was the one thing that I got to control essentially with this wedding is I told her because she wants a fall wedding, and I was like, well, peace and love here, hon. A lot of different months out there to get married, and the fall, not a great time.
Yeah,
not a great time for me between Gopher football and my actual job and then trying to get in a tree stand or out in a duck blind. Sources tell me my evenings and weekends are pretty busy. So if we could move it potentially to New Year's Eve, and even then it was, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to go to the bowl game. She's like, I could care less if you go to a bowl game or not. So. God, I think I'm only like, be like 3.5 months away now.
I only have two weddings this fall. I haven't had any in a while. Both these guys lived with me during college. They 100% know what I do on Saturdays. You know, one of them actively participates in the consumption of Gopher football as well. The other, he could care less. But I just want to point out that The other one that does consume Gopher football has heard from me a number of times over.
Well, I'm sure your friends, because I believe you're going out Washington, right?
I'll be out of state for both weddings. So,
jeez, yeah, I have a wedding in town October 1st. So right after the Purdue game, I have to head downtown to be in a wedding, and then the bye week, I will be in Waukesha.
Like
at a wedding as well.
Like Ryan, legitimately, I don't know if you know about this, but this was not something that happened when I got married, but you literally get like this email that's a specialized or is personalized for you as an attender, especially on these like, you know, destination kind of weddings that you go to. So mm-hmm. I got the email and it said, and by the way, there is no cell coverage where we will be.
Now, how am I going to watch this game? I love those kind of places because I can put the phone down. But also, for those who maybe aren't as open-minded to the outdoors, I can imagine the stress and anxiety that may cause some people.
Well, it's more so like I want to watch this Western Illinois game. I have the streaming services to make this happen. I just need an active internet connection to make it happen. I have three buddies that want to watch this game too, and we all have to be in the same place. So, I will report back as to how
we're able to accomplish this. You might have to watch it on the flight home or the sped up version that'll be on YouTube of like the 25 minute highlights, which, by the way, yes, we're going to go a little long-winded here on the weddings because this Western Illinois preview is not going to be incredibly expansive. So if you don't want to hear me complain about my wedding, you can skip forward. That's the beauty of a free podcast. But here's the thing. Now that we're like under 4 months away, and now that it's also a destination wedding, like we still have like 55-60% of our invites have not been responded to, yes or no.
Yeah.
And well, here's the thing. It's like we told them we need to know by like October 1st, which we do because of vendors and everything and whatnot. But it's like, this isn't like a wedding in Waconia or God forbid Justin Guard's Onidina there. Like this isn't one you can like decide day of if you're going to or not.
Right.
This is down in Key Largo, Florida, which is a commitment.
Yes.
Like this isn't a spur of the moment. Oh, you know, we enjoyed Christmas so much. Let's go down to Ryan and his fiance's wedding. But it's like, we sent out the initial invite in like, I don't know, like February. So it's like these people have had plenty of time to kind of figure out and get the finances in order if they want to come or not.
Yeah.
And it's like, or even just like talking to my family members, it's like, they're like, yeah, I don't know.
How
do you not know one? Like, are you leaning? Yes. Are you leaning? No. Like how are we so still on the fence about this? I just want to know, like, if you can't come, that's fine. Like we totally get it.
I think holiday, it's entirely possible.
Destination wedding.
I think it's entirely possible, Ryan, that what's happened with, you know, 60% of your guests are that, you know, the two significant others talk to one another, both confirmed that yes, we're going to attend or no, we're not going to attend, but assume that the other one was going to respond.
But I don't want to be the guy that has to be like, yo, it's October 1st. Are you coming or not? Respond to the damn RSVP.
So maybe what we need to do is have listeners,
slide into the DMs, folks. Well,
Don't even slide into the DMs. Make it all public. Like, let us know what is a reasonable date for an October 1st response by that Ryan can start texting people. That's the piece that I think we want to know.
So where I'm at with it, just so people have context, and again, you can let me know. My DMs are always open at Ryan Burns MN. I'm not going to hit him up till October. Like, I don't want to be that guy. I'm an incredibly type A person, but I also don't want to be, air quotes, that guy.
I think you, if it's October, didn't she say you need to know October 1st?
Yeah.
So I would, I think that, you know, September 30th is reasonable.
But even then it's going to be like, I'm sure they'll be like, well, we'll get back to you. I'm like, you've had 8 months to get back to me.
All right. Let's leave it to the listeners.
Let's get off. Yeah. We'll get into it.
Okay. Last thing, this might make you really uncomfortable because I know your personality.
the introvert that I am.
Wedding.
My life's an open book.
The wedding for this weekend, my wife and I both thought that the other person bought the plane tickets because we had already responded like months ago that we were going. And I said, hey, I don't see the flight on our calendar. And she's like, oh, you're right. I thought you bought the tickets. No, I thought you bought the tickets. So we just recently.
So you paid a pretty penny for some flights is what you're telling me.
I think we probably paid more than we needed to, yes. But I don't think it was like ridiculous because the destination we're going to has many one-way or not one-way round trip flights between Minneapolis and location, but still I think for a second my wife, who is a pretty type A person, had her stomach or her basically she felt terrible. I can't remember the analogy that I was going to use. Her heart drop into her stomach. Yeah, maybe that was it.
Ooh. That would stress me out instantaneously. I cannot stress that enough. But I suppose we should talk a little bit about the Gopher football.
Okay. What we should probably get into first and foremost is the depth chart. Ryan, this is a point of contention that you and I have had for basically the entire PJ Fleck tenure. They don't even bother to put out a depth chart. At this point, I actually respect it because they're like, we used to put out bogus ones, so now we're not even gonna put one out because it's actually probably more decent. Now, here's what I want to know. I know you put out a depth chart on GI, so if anybody wants to see that, go and check out your depth chart there. But I think what would be helpful here, Ryan, is What did you see with your own eyes in the last year?
Well, I think the thing that people want to know too is
injuries.
Yes. And that's where I had a full list on Gopher Illustrated, which I want to thank a lot of you. I think we had dang near 100 new signups for that 75% off deal, which is incredible. Again, in the day and age where journalism is being supported less than ever, and you're seeing so many cuts being down on staff, to get nearly 100 new subs is incredible. So we're very appreciative of that. But I had these all in the game thread, and I will again Saturday morning, of the players that did not dress for Minnesota. And that's where, you know, if we want to go position by position, Zach Ebbins, the true freshman running back who you guys all saw in the spring game, he was not dressed. He had a sleeve on his right leg. Sounds like he has not been practicing again this week. Sounds like he got banged up in practice. Doesn't sound like it's anything structural, which is the important thing there. But I would imagine he's going to be back probably by the end of the month. And we'll see what he looks like in warmups there on Saturday morning. You look at wide receiver Daniel Jackson. That was one of the more important players, I'd say, that didn't dress. Someone that went through warmups, which is the encouraging part, Luke. I mean, he was out there in the first wave going through drills. He initially dressed during the 75 minutes until he going to the locker room. He was running around. No, I don't think he looked 100% at all. I'd be absolutely gobsmacked if we're playing the Gopher Gridiron Radio drinking game that he would play this weekend. I would still be a little surprised if we saw him against Colorado. But it's very encouraging to me, Luke, that Daniel Jackson is at least warming up and doesn't have anything on that ankle. You look at a couple of tight ends, Samuel Pickering, you'll remember him from the spring game singing a song. I think that's probably the most eventful moment of the Sam Pickering era. He was on a scooter with a boot on his left foot. Spencer Alvarez, the tight end from Columbia Heights, who I'm still not convinced won't be an offensive tackle in the spring, but right now he's a tight end. He was in street clothes with an injury. Tyrell Lawrence, who missed all of fall camp with an undisclosed injury, continues to be in street clothes. But I would note that Logan Purcell and Cameron James, two young offensive tackles from Minnesota who the media really didn't get to see at all in fall practice, both of them were dressed and they were participating. So it looks like they're on the up and up, which is encouraging. On the defensive line, Austin Booker had his hand in a cast, his right hand. Sounds like he's a week-to-week type of injury, and it's going to be more so about pain tolerance for him. So I'm hopeful that maybe that can heal for hopefully as soon as the Colorado game. Trey Bigsby was in street clothes. Steven Ortiz sounds like he's in the concussion protocol. And then one of your favorite players, transfer kicker from Ball State, Jacob Lewis, was also in street clothes with an injury. So, again, we can argue about the I should also mention Logan Richter did not dress for the game, but it does sound like Logan Richter is practicing here this week for Minnesota now. Do they need him against Western Illinois? God, I hope not. Sweet Moses of Mary, they should definitely not need Logan Richter. So if he's ready to go for Colorado or hopefully Michigan State, that would be good news. But Axel Rushmeyer as well, I think, would be the last one to note, Luke. You saw him go down in the third quarter. He was down there for about 90 seconds, 2 minutes, hobbled off. Sources tell me, and PJ Fleck, again, I take everything PJ Fleck says with a grain of salt, especially injury-wise. Now, you can read what he said on Gopher Illustrated word for word, but he said Axel's fine. Well, I had to check on that, and my sources around the program say Axel has been practicing this week. What does that mean for his availability? I would say if he is not 100%, you don't need him for Western Illinois. Let's save him for Colorado, which is at least a Power 5 team. So all in all, I'd say they're decently healthy right now.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. You know, Western Illinois, an FCS foe, they're already 0-1 on the season. They're a heavy underdog in this game. I expect this offense for the Gophers will be, again, pretty vanilla. But I think what it comes down to is being efficient and being successful, not turning the ball over and staying healthy against this opponent.
Yeah, Western Illinois, what you need to know about them, they were a 2-win Missouri Valley team. Missouri Valley is the same conference that South Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota, all playing in the FCS. I would argue it's the best FCS division or conference, I would say, in all of the FCS. Now, they were a 2-win team a year ago, so they fired their head coach. And in comes Myers Hendrickson, which comes from one of Luke's alma maters, actually, in Kansas Wesleyan, which didn't exactly know where that was until Luke explained to me his favorite pastimes down there.
Yeah. Loved it.
And that's where what you need to know about Myers Hendrickson is he is more of an offensive guy. And this is still a bad Western Illinois team. Last week they played UT Martin Skyhawks, which is the number 18 team in FCS. They allowed 42 points. They allowed dang near 600 total yards. Most importantly, I think here, it's a 3-4 defense. And it's one that I guess Minnesota hasn't gone against. They obviously went against a 4-3 last week. Now they get a 3-4 this week. And as someone who hashtag grinded the tape to watch back UT Martin versus Western Illinois on ESPN Plus, I mean, it was the UT Martin Stadium. I have seen peace and love to the Skyhawks out there in Tennessee, but that stadium, I bet you, only holds 7,000 to 10,000. It's not a lot. I've seen some high school stadiums bigger than there, but Western Illinois could not stop the run, and it's going to be spoiler. One of the keys to the game is run the damn ball, and their running backs, or they allowed UT Martin running backs last week, Luke, to rush for 6.7 yards per carry on 38 attempts, and those running backs were able to get to the second level pretty easily. Now, from talking with Kirk Sciarca today, Minnesota's offensive coordinator, he's a little leery because he knows that every FCS opponent, when they play a Big Ten or a Power Five, it's their Super Bowl. So they're going to throw crazy things out at him and hoping that they can pop a ball loose or get an interception or whatever it may be. So he just wants Minnesota to be consistent. And as we saw last week when number 3 South Dakota State took Iowa down to the wire, we'll get into that later. And when North Dakota hung with Nebraska into the second half there before Nebraska pulled away, the Missouri Valley's got some pretty decent teams. And so Minnesota's still got to show up here. But, Luke, I am expecting another heavy ground-and-pound game for Minnesota where I will set the over-under for rushing attempts at a balmy 52.5.
I do think that one thing to bring up in terms of like what we might expect from the Gophers offense was, you know, even if the Gophers have success, and we're not guaranteeing that they will have success on the ground and offensively,
if they don't have success on the ground offensively,
I know,
boy,
you'll be concerned.
Is this Sunday podcast going to be doom and gloom?
But what I was going to say is, like, you know, Derek brought up a good point that a lot of times, you know, especially early in the season, people are like, why are guys in there? Why are guys in there? Well, they need to get live reps, right? So it still might be one of those situations where they pull ahead, but they also want to be able to balance and get those right number of reps and get these guys into game shape, because nothing is like live reps. So, you know, set your expectations accordingly. Obviously, we all hope that it's a blowout and the Gophers can pull everybody.
This should be a game where,
half,
again, in the fourth quarter, we get to see the backups.
Yes.
I mean, the spread is just like a point or two larger than it was last week. Now, I would argue that Western Illinois' offense is better than New Mexico State's, and we'll get to that next. But I was not impressed defensively. And that's where I guess the thing to watch, Luke, is communication up front. Again, 4 new starters up there. I thought they handled it well last week with stunts and twists. But with a 3-4 defense especially, they can do a lot of different things in stunts and twists. So it's got to be, if Minnesota communicates up front, I think Mo Ibrahim and Trayson Potts are going to have a lot of fun on Saturday.
Yep. Be consistent, be efficient, and also stay healthy. The Goal Line Club again brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. With your membership, Ryan, you have the opportunity to, one, go to like game previews, which are awesome and will be coming. So keep your eye out on Gopher, the goalineclub.org. Sorry, goalineclub.org. But also, Ryan, you know, there are some advantages that you have on game day.
There are. Like, again, before this home game, there is a Minnesota alumni pop-up market that is, I believe, just around the stadium there. Well, if you identify yourself as a Goal Line Club member, which you should do, which all you have to do is go to goallineclub.org/memberships to join today, you get 20% off your purchases. Now, we all like to save money. I like to – you tell me it's going to be 20% off, I'm probably going to be much more susceptible to buying it. So at the Alumni Association SkyUmania, or if the pop-up market there before the game, if you just tell them you're a Goal Line Club member, you get 20% off, which is another very cool Goal Line Club perk. So if you want to join, and we've said it before and I will say it again, I think the best perk about it is if you are a Gopher football Rube and you want to support the program directly and you want to know 100% of my donation will go to PJ Fleck and his football program, become a member. That is what the Goal Line Club is for. So if you want to learn more today, go to goallineclub.org/memberships.
Let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, this is a Western Illinois team that was able to amass 25 points against UT Martin. By the way, the Skyhawks, great name to go with. The Skyhawks versus the Leathernecks is just fantastic. But this team, what it looks like, at least to me, if you just look at the number of receptions, you look at they're trying to throw the ball based on attempts, but also on receptions. But it seems like they're targeting one receiver in particular. His name is, I think, Nassim Brantley. He had 171 yards on the day, Ryan.
Three touchdowns too.
Yeah. Good point. Yes. Three touchdowns, but it's very obvious that they have a strategy, and it's basically to throw the ball. And Nassim's depth of target, you told me this in the pre-game meeting, so the person on Gopher Illustrated that always bashes my my non-prep for this,
yep.
Again, didn't prep. But Nassim, 28.5 yards per reception. Come on, let's go.
So this is where it'll be interesting to see for Joe Rossi's defense, because I think Western Illinois' offense is exponentially here's what I'd say. They are going to try a lot harder to score points than Jerry Kill's team did.
Yes.
At least I think they will.
Yes.
And I think they have the horses and the mindset to do it. Now, in terms of horses, Luke mentions him, Nassim Brantley. And I will talk about this in my keys to the game. But this offense is the king of DGAF. And if you don't know what DGAF means, I strongly encourage you to put it in your Google machine, because I don't want to put an explicit take on this. But they don't give a flying F, because they just chuck it, and they chuck it deep. Like, they played two quarterbacks on Saturday, Henry Ogla and Nick Davenport. I thought Nick Davenport was the better of the two. But Nick Davenport's average depth of target. Now, again, I'm going to be talking a lot about that here in the next 15 minutes. And a quick explainer, average depth of target means this. When they throw the ball, how far down the field is it? So if you throw the ball 20 yards, well, the average depth on that target was 20 yards. Well, on 19 attempts, Luke, Nick Davenport's average pass went 19 yards down the field.
Yeah.
That is chucking it. Like, the average quarterback, I would say, is like 9 to 10 yards. He's double that, and that was on 20 attempts. They are going to chuck it.
Yes.
Now, here's what I'll say. They at least did that when they got down against UT Martin. Now, maybe they just throw in the towel like New Mexico State did and said, we're just going to get out of here alive. Boy, I don't want to see that, because I want to see this Gopher secondary at least tested, because I think Nassim Brantley is a good player. I think that he is 6'3", can run, and boy, if you thought 20 yards per pass attempt was a lot, let me tell you, Nassim Brantley got targeted 13 times last week, so he got the ball thrown at him 13 times. The average depth of target on those 13 targets was 30 yards. 30.
Yes.
So the average depth that when the ball arrived at him was 30 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Down the field. That's insane. That is like Will Fuller, like that's like Randy Moss type of, we're only going to throw it to you, and when we do, it is going to be a shot deep. So I am hoping to see that, because I want to see if Terrell Smith and Justin Wally and Ryan Stapp and name your Gopher cornerback or safety, I want to see them test it a little bit, because I don't know that Mike Sanford's passing attack is going to light the world on fire before Minnesota's got to face Jay Johnson's Michigan State team. But I'll also mention it in my keys to the game, but this is not a great offensive line for Western Illinois. And that's where Nick Davenport is the more mobile of the two quarterbacks. I expect to see him more on Saturday. But this is a game where Minnesota, in my eyes, is going to have a lot more opportunities than they did on Thursday night to create opportunities to get turnovers.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, with those long developing routes and long depth of target, you have to keep in mind that for the Gophers, you know, it doesn't matter how good your secondary is, they can't cover forever. So you have to be able to get pressure, and they'll have opportunities to get pressure and want to see that execution, especially with a fresh batch, not batch, but a bunch of unproven defensive linemen, you know, like to see where they can get those big plays on defense. Let's force a strip sack or, you know, something along those lines. Let's get some TFLs.
Absolutely. So, I think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch for fans to watch Minnesota's defense, because I think Western Illinois is going to try to score. They have an offensive-minded head coach. He was a guru at the Kansas Wesleyan level. That's why he's at Western Illinois now. He's an alum, but he put up some gaudy records offensively. And I think Joe Rossi's defense is at least going to have more of the opposing offensive coordinator is going to try to show some things. And I hope Joe Rossi's defense is ready to capitalize on a couple of those opportunities.
All right, Legacy Life and Law again brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, I know you're making some big life changes here on New Year's Eve, and I know that you've gotten your affairs in order and you have your will, and you know you basically have everything in order, but I have to imagine you've learned a lot through that process. And what would you like to tell the good listener about getting your affairs in order?
It's, again, I just turned 30, so the world is ending. But if you are of my age, or even if you have a family, if you have children, if you have a house, if you have a boat, if you have any of that, you need to have a freaking will. Like, this is... Yeah, it's morbid to an extent to make, because you got to do medical directives and whatnot and like say who gets what.
Right.
But that's life, people. And you don't want the government to come in and take it. I'm not going to go off of some conspiracy now, but get your affairs in order so that if something happens, and God forbid it does, that you're prepared. I've seen many family members, or at least a couple, not have a will. And that was an excruciating process to go through with a lot of me, me, me. And it just tore, you know, certain family members apart, Luke.
All right. So if you're in the state of Illinois, go to legacylifelaw.com. There you can get support on estate planning, real estate, and business planning. Again, legacylifeandlaw.com for those of you in the state of Illinois. All right, Ryan, this is going to be an 11 o'clock kick. This game will be on Big Ten Network. On the season, the Leathernecks are 0-1. The Golden Gophers are 1-0. Additionally, what I can find, at least for spreads, the Gophers are currently a 37.5-point favorite with a 57.5 over-under. On Saturday, if you're going out to TCF Bank Stadium, once again, it is going to be an early morning kickoff, but make sure that you're prepared weather-wise. It does look like there is an opportunity for rain in Minneapolis. The temperature should be just about 60-ish degrees for kickoff.
I've been waiting for this, because as we record this, it's like 88 and humid out, and it's September. I am tired of sweating. I'm always sweating because I'm a large individual. I'm 6'4", 240. Okay. I want it to be 60 degrees, and this is what fall football is supposed to be.
Yeah, so at kickoff, somewhere around 60 degrees. Wind shouldn't be a factor. Maybe some light rain, but it should clear up as the game goes on. As the game ends, it should be about 67, 68 degrees. Enjoy the game, but be prepared, folks. Like, it might be a little bit wet. Just be prepared. You know, bring some gear that can accommodate. Layers probably is going to help you.
Yeah, and that's where I had, an inebriated individual is what I'm going to assume, in my DMs at Thursday night at like 11:30, because he listened to the podcast, and I won't out him, but he was like, you told me there was no way Gophers were going to cover, and he put some money down. He wasn't happy about it. Well, here's what I would say for those of you looking for betting advice from me this week. 57.5 is way too high, because I see a very repeat type of performance coming this week, and we'll get to that in my after my keys to the game and in the prediction. But I this to me, the over-under should be like 47.5, not 57.5. Like if it's getting into the like mid-50s, the Gophers have had a couple of breakdowns, which definitely could happen. But also, it's a Joe Rossi defense against a two-win FCS team from last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm scared of both the spread and the over-under.
I would not touch the spread, but I would absolutely, if it was me, now I don't bet on college football because I have morals and ethics because I write about the damn thing and I'm a Heisman voter, which oh, good for me. But a 57.5 for this game is 10 points too high to me.
Yeah. That's fair. Let's get to those keys to the game, Ryan.
Let's do it. I mean, the number one key I have is the Minnesota Moving Company needs to continue to dominate because let's get this straight off the bat. Western Illinois Leathernecks are not a good FCS football team. So Minnesota's facing another program, beginning of a rebuild with a first-year head coach. Welcome in former Western Illinois Leatherneck, Myers Hendrickson, who was, as I mentioned earlier, the former offensive-minded head coach at Kansas Wesleyan. Now, they have a lot of moving pieces on the defense for this Western Illinois defense, but as the game tape showed, it's a 3-4 defense, first one Minnesota's faced all year, but peace and love. They just allowed 42 points and 577 total yards to the number 18 team in the FCS. In the Skyview Skyhawks, or the UT Martin Skyhawks, of Tennessee. And that's where 254 rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs last week. That's a sultry 6.68 yards per carry. Not great. Now they got to travel up to Minneapolis to face a Big Ten team that almost ran for 300 yards a week ago. And when watching the front seven for the Leathernecks last week, I would say UT Martin was able to overwhelm them at times up front, which is how they allowed that many rushing yards and that many points. So this is a revamped offensive line for Minnesota, and we'll see if starting left guard Axel Rushmeyer is able to go or not. But even if he's not, this is a group that if they just communicate and then also bring physicality, I see no reason why Mo Ibrahim and Trayson Potts can't both have 100 rushing yards apiece on Saturday. But it's a line that I believe is going to see a lot of stunts, a lot of twists. And if they keep Tanner Morgan upright and establish physicality, this should be a game where Minnesota has a lot of fun in the running game again. Now, number two, Joe Rossi's defense can, well, let's hope that they don't allow any more big plays.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned it earlier in the players to watch, but I expect to see multiple quarterbacks on Saturday between Henry Ogla and Nick Davenport. The one that had more success with offensive drives, points, moving the ball down the field was Davenport, but if he's out there, it's a lot of all or nothing. Think of a more mobile Zach Anikstead that is going to chuck it, and he believes in himself. Now, Davenport's also the more mobile of the two quarterbacks. He led the team in rushing yards last week, 8 carries for 62 yards. A lot of that was, some of it was designed quarterback runs, but he loves to use his legs. But where it gets interesting is this passing game. I mentioned it earlier. There's only been 19 pass attempts from Nick Davenport in the Myers Hendrickson era, but they went for an average of over 20 yards per attempt down the field. Every Davenport pass was a deep shot. Now, contrast that to the New Mexico State offense, whose average depth of pass was well into the single digits. What I'm trying to convey here is Minnesota's secondary, which I think is the strength of this defense, is going to get a lot more opportunities in theory to make plays on the ball. Now, if they're going to be chucking it to somebody, it's going to be number 18. You'll see him. He's a tall fella. Nassim Bradley caught 3 touchdowns last week on 6 receptions for 171 yards. I mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. He was targeted 13 times last week. The average depth on those 13 targets was 29 yards down the field. Hello, everything is a deep shot. So they want to get Bradley in one-on-one coverage and let him work. It's going to be an interesting contrast in styles, Luke, because Joe Rossi's defense, if it has one MO, is what? They don't allow big plays. They have been outstanding at doing that in the last 14 games. So Justin Wally, Terrell Smith, Ryan Stapp, Beanie Bishop, Michael Dixon, Tyler Newbin, and Jordan Howden are going to have some opportunities, I believe, to make some plays on the ball. But it's also going to be on Brick Haley's defensive line, to your point earlier, Luke. Davenport wants to scramble, and Minnesota's going to have to stay disciplined in making sure that they don't allow that. Now, this Western Illinois offensive line was not great last week, Luke. On 38 total dropbacks, they allowed 21 pressures against the number 18 in the FCS. Both of their tackles allowed 5+ pressures. Me trying to tell you their tackle's not great in pass protection. Me telling you that Thomas Rush, Danny Strigo, Jod Joyner, Jalen Logan Redding, Lorenzo Sergers, they should, if they stay disciplined, they should have themselves a day. But I just don't see a way that Western Illinois is able to run the ball here, Luke. Their two running backs last week combined for 36 rushing yards on 13 attempts. That's under 3 yards a carry if my Tartan High education math is correct. But the question to me, Luke, is when Western Illinois gets down, are they going to keep their foot on the gas pedal and try to run their offense? Because if so, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to create turnovers. Or are they going to go into a Jerry Kill turtle shell? But the final key to the game, and maybe the most important one again, show up at home against a bad team. Because for the first time since 2018, the Gophers took care of a mediocre home non-conference opponent. You just eviscerated off the face of the earth New Mexico State last week. But don't think I forget about 2019, where you were sweating games against South Dakota State, Georgia Southern, and Fresno. Don't think I forgot about Bowling Green or Miami of Ohio. All home games where you should have won by more of a larger margin. Now, last night or last game, Thursday, under the lights, everybody was pumped. Now it's a sleepy 11 a.m. kickoff against a potentially worse opponent. Don't play down to the level of your opponent. Do exactly what you need to do. Keep the foot on the gas pedal, and this should be another smooth sailing to a victory.
All right. When we're predicting this game, it is challenging because they have struggled in this 11 o'clock slot with this kind of opponent. But I'll go first, Ryan. Just based on what I saw against New Mexico State, it feels like they should be able to capitalize on this opportunity. I hope they continue this positive momentum. I'll take the Gophers 42-7.
All right. So you're saying Western Illinois gets a touchdown on there. Luca?
Yeah. One touchdown. See,
I want to believe that Minnesota records back-to-back shutouts to open their season, which I believe would be the first time in my lifetime that's would it be accomplished. But I just don't know what Myers Hendrickson is going to do when he gets down 20.
That's fair.
I don't know if he's going to go into a shell. I don't know if he's going to just say, screw it, we're running the dang offense and we're chucking it. Like, if he's going to chuck it, I think they'll eventually find their way into some points. But if they just go into a shell after the first 20 minutes of a game, I don't know what to say. So I'm going to say they connect on like one of those and they get a field goal. But I have no idea how they're just going to stop the rushing attack. And I think it's another laugher before Mike Sanford makes his return to Huntington Bank Stadium. I got the Gophers 45, Western Illinois 3.
Once again, the Burns Insurance Agency brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, the Burns Insurance Agency has been a long-term supporter of Gopher Gridiron Radio, and I know that they have made a big impact on the insurance coverage that you receive.
It's the beauty of it. That's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, a gigantic Gopher football fan, believes in service. His goal is not to be the biggest insurance agency in the state of Minnesota, but to be the one that gives you the best possible service, putting your needs first, providing you with everything you deserve. Now, many of you have contacted him and have experienced that exemplary service that you deserve. And that's the beauty of being a local independent insurance agent located in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota. I will say it again. I just got my home insurance changed from a different provider through the Burge Insurance Agency. I saved $300, and you know what I did? Absolutely nothing. You know what I had to do that? He contacted me and said, hey, your home insurance was up for renewal. We found you a better rate for even better coverage. I saved $300 and I didn't even do anything. So if you want to see if you're paying too much for your home, your auto, your boat, your even life insurance, commercial, contact him at bill@insurancebyburns.com via email or go to their website at insurancebyburns.com.
Let's take a look around the Big Ten here, Ryan. There are, looks to me, about 14 games on the schedule, all non-conference opponents. So it's a full day if you're into Big Ten action. We play this game every week. What is the low get-in price this week, Ryan? Which game?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Maryland versus Charlotte.
You know, you would think that, but it happens to be Duke versus Northwestern at $5, according here to the ticket price. Minnesota was close at $7. So if you want to get to the game.
God bless Ryan Field. Yeah. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. God bless Ryan Field.
All right. Holy so. Small. I don't think we'll go through all of these games, but what are a couple that you're eager to look forward to? Obviously, we'll probably end with the Iowa-Iowa State. That seems to be the marquee matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I wish I could be able to watch. I think I'll be able to get home from this game and turn it on while it's in the second half there, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But this is a week that does not have a bunch of marquee matchups. I think you look at the 11 a.m. slot. For those of you that'll be at the game or watching, you won't get to watch any of these games. I think the only interesting one there would be Duke versus Northwestern. Two very high academic institutions, but we're going to find out that if Northwestern's offense is maybe a little bit better than we were all giving them credit for. Now, the 2:30 and 3 o'clock slot, I guess the most interesting game to me outside of the Iowa-Iowa State one would be either Wisconsin hosting Washington State from the Pac-12 there, or Illinois hosting Virginia, because
there's a Gopher storyline in that Virginia game. Wasn't the quarterback someone that Minnesota
Brendan Armstrong, yeah, former Golden Gopher football commit.
Yep.
And then Zach Anixted hopped in the boat as a PWO and he bolted, and now he's setting records at Virginia, which again, I think it worked out for both with what, yep, Tanner Morgan's done here and what Brendan Armstrong's done for the Hoos. But I am very intrigued. I think the Virginia-Illinois game is going to be better than the Wisconsin-Washington State game.
Yeah.
I am not incredibly high on Washington State.
Right.
Now, 1 week overreactions, I get it. It's tough to do that. But when Washington State struggles to beat Idaho at home, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence that they're going to give Graham Mertz and company a run for their money in Camp Randall.
And they're a brand new staff too, right? This is the first year of the program after the head coach, I believe, got let go after basically vaccination thing. So he wasn't willing to take the vaccine, so I think they let him go. But yeah, definitely a tough transition. The other, I did want to highlight, it surprised me a little bit that Northwestern was a 10-point favorite in that Duke game, but that's where they are at this moment.
I mean, Duke's not a very good football team, but I've also seen Northwestern lose this type of game before.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right,
the other one would be like, again, we're going to find out if Illinois is how they respond after losing to what I still think is a bad Indiana team. Mm-hmm. Now they get to come back home against Virginia. But it's the one I'm going to be putting on when I get home is Nebraska versus Georgia Southern. It's a 6:30 kick on FS1. Georgia Southern, not a bad football team. Now, I don't believe that they're a triple option offense anymore, because if they are, and they somehow threw for 370 yards and 4 touchdowns last week when they won 59-7 over Morgan State. I believe they got a new head coach there too. I'm going to look up his name. But I want to see what Scott Frost looks like in game 3, because I know game 1 and game 2 have been incredibly bumpy.
Yeah.
But what do you think about it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You look at this one, the over under is 63. So it's a ton of points. Nebraska's favored by 23.5. Georgia Southern, I think you're right, has a new coach. This was the Georgia Southern team that the Gophers struggled with in 2019, if memory serves. So it will be very interesting to see how this game plays out. You know, the reality,
there is actually, Luke, I will say this, a now, well, I guess future Big Ten connection, former USC head coach Clay Helton is the one commanding this Georgia Southern team now, former or future Big Ten member. So what happens if for the third straight week, Nebraska's having issues going into the second half? Again, I don't want to watch Michigan versus Hawaii. Indiana versus Idaho. I want to see Scott Frost, because I enjoy seeing what the again, no higher variance team to me in the Big Ten West or even all the Big Ten than Nebraska. But there's just so many gigantic point spreads in the Big Ten this week that you got to pick and choose your spots. And if that's what's going to give me happiness on a Saturday night is watching Nebraska versus Georgia Southern, I'm just happy football's back.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this Cy-Hawk game between the Cyclones of Iowa State and the Hawkeyes of Iowa. On the season, Iowa is 1-0, and Iowa State is 1-0 as well. Both are 0-1 against the spread. The over-under is 40.5, and the spread is in favor of Iowa by 3.5. So not
it's just so not weird to see a college football game, Luke, with an over-under that may end up in the 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – but that's where it's where it's at for Iowa right now.
So, I mean the storyline here in this game, you know, Matt Campbell been unable to actually beat Kirk Ferentz while there. Last year was supposed to be their big year, and they ended up losing. And then the other thing is, like, holy cats, the Iowa defense is good. The special teams are great. And the offense is looking to be pretty putrid with Spencer Petras.
It is, you know, it's truly remmable. They score 7 points off two safeties and a field goal.
Didn't you really want it to be five, though? Didn't you want them to stay at five so it was a 5-3 game? I so badly wanted it to be five.
It's truly remarkable. But it's you look at it this way. I mean, it has been a tumultuous week in Iowa City. Between Brian Ferentz, kind of, I thought he threw a little bit of shade at Spencer Petras today, saying maybe they need a more mobile guy back there, which we'll see if that means Alex Padilla gets a shot. But if this is the year where Iowa State finally gets over the hump against Iowa, I am predicting right now either Spencer Petras' days or as the quarterback in Iowa City are done, or Brian Ferentz is going to be looking at Dad and saying, "Dad, keep me here, nepotism, baby." But again, this is such a good Iowa defense, and we saw it again last week. Yes. You saw Torrey Taylor be the only. I mean, if they have Mark Crawford as their punter, peace and love to our Australian punter, they don't win that game. I mean, Torrey Taylor was exceptional last week as the Iowa punter, but there needs to be progress. Now, I understand Iowa's got some passing game, pass catcher issues. I understand maybe they're not using their top running back because of injury issues. You play the cards that you're dealt, and if you're Iowa State, there has never been a better time, just like many Minnesota fans will likely be saying in late November, to finally get off the schneid against Iowa. Let me just
interject here real quick. I hear what you're saying, but part of me also says, like, you know, we went into that game against Iowa last year thinking, at least my thought process was like, man, the Gophers have a really good chance to win this game. And then I did not see them pulling Spencer Petras, and they made the change. And that was the difference in the game, Ryan. And I'm not saying that that's what they're going
to
do here.
Justin Gard and I will go to the grave saying if Spencer Petras plays that game, Minnesota wins.
Yes.
Now, I'd argue Minnesota still should have won.
Yes.
Folks, I'm not disagreeing with you in that instance.
Yes.
But I want, like, it has, something has to change in Iowa City if that team's going to beat Iowa State, because I don't know what else clicks, but I am going to be watching that game once I get done with my writing duties.
Yeah, it'll be a good one to follow. I love this rivalry too. You know, two Power Five teams in the same state. It's unfortunate that it hasn't been much of a rivalry of late, so it will be interesting to see how this one plays out. Any other Big Ten games you want to comment on, or should we let the poor people go?
I think we should let them get off their lawnmowers again. This should be a laugher. I mean, this should be one Minnesota wins by 4 touchdowns. If this game is at all close in the fourth quarter, something has gone devastatingly wrong. Joe Rossi's defense is giving up big plays left and right, and there's a lot. Again, This is a team that I think is going to get overwhelmed at the point of attack by the Minnesota Moving Company on the offensive side of the ball, and then Joe Rossi's front seven. So enjoy. Hopefully the rain clears out. You know, the forecast I saw is hopefully the rain's going to be out of there by then.
Yes.
It's going to feel like a fall football game. Mm-hmm. Go to Tony's with the Goal Line Club, grab something to eat, get to the stadium, because if I know one thing now, the student section is going to be jumping, and they're going to get you ready to go for an 11 a.m. kick.
All right. Again, thanks to our sponsors, the Goal Line Club, Burns Insurance Agency, and Legacy and Life Law. Please support those folks that make Gopher Gridiron Radio possible. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.